it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Tonight at Tropicana Field, baseball indoors, game number 161 in the regular season. Orioles here tonight trying to end a three-game losing streak and try to finish the season in a more positive manner. I think that's a good idea. The skipper, Buck Showalter, and the manager's report right after this.
Rock Abatko with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight, manager's report. Buck, the loss last night, 10 walks from the pitching staff, 5 from Wade Miley. Is that pretty much tell the story? Or very rarely you're going to win a game when you walk that many batters.
Not unless they do, you know. And, you know, it's you don't look out there and think of Wade as someone that has the walk totals that he has, which there's more than just mechanical thing. There's some just he gets into these picking around the zone, and he's, you know, a couple of balls off the plate. It's not like he's throwing them all over the place. He's pretty easy to catch. And he goes through periods where, like he did earlier, and then it just – so there's a lot more going on there than just something physical. So it's been a challenge for him all year.
Chris Tillman was charged with 3 runs, 2 inherited, but he had 3 walks and he hit a batter. And I know you've been asked this, you've thought about it, there's no easy answer, or maybe it would have been fixed. But why was he never able to get back to the Chris Tillman we were used to before this season?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Rock, because that's what we're paid to do. We're paid to figure those things out. And I know what I think and I feel very strongly about, but it would be a poor reflection or, you know, it would be something that really doesn't need to be out there publicly the way I feel about. But we're going to try to fix it, you know, if Chris is back with us next year. And a lot of it's got to do with his offseason and what happens and what he wasn't able to do this past offseason and what works and what doesn't. And you've got to figure out whether this is a trend that's going to continue or whether it's something that you can fix in the offseason.
I mean, if someone had told you before the season started, here's what's going to happen with your designated number one starter and here's what's going to happen with your closer, I mean, how proud are you that these guys were in contention into September, given the things, and I know everybody's got their tales of woe, but those are two pretty big issues you guys had this year.
Well, you know, I'll let other people weigh in on that, and because it's an excuse, you know, whether it's Hardy being out or whether this guy's out or whoever's out. I'll let other people, you know, I'm not in the business of saying that this, if this didn't happen, because something else is going to happen next year. It's part of how you, what are your what ifs? You know, I knew with the offseason that Chris had to have that there was going to be a challenge for him this year, and with the amount of wear and tear from a mental and emotional and physical thing, that the possibility with Zach is always there, and you always got to say what if. You don't assume that because he's saved historical amount of games that in that period consecutively that it's going to continue the next year. You make a lot of mistakes as a manager and front office people if you say the exact same things that happened one year are going to happen, good and bad, and you can be surprised by them. So you know, I've never really been surprised by things like that because you know how fragile this all is.
Rock Abatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report, Miguel Castro getting his first major league start tonight. Realistically, what is it that you're looking for from him?
You know, he's basically in our mind started games before. I want to watch him warm up. I want to watch him. We watch him in the clubhouse today, walking around, you know. Just little things that nobody can see analytically that tell you how it may project in the pregame preparation, and is he nervous, is he not nervous, just all the little things that you only get a small capsule of that goes into helping you make better decisions. And it doesn't matter, you know, I know how many innings he physically is capable of pitching, but you know, there's a part of it's player development too.
Tim Beckham was in the lineup last night, looked like in the eighth inning, aggravated the hamstring injury. Pretty safe bet that you're just going to have to shut him down now.
Yeah, I applaud. I know it meant a lot to him to play here and gave him that opportunity. He was coming out of the game anyway, Rock, and then after talking to him after the game today, he's probably done. And we're going to get some exit MRIs like we do on all our guys to make sure we're not surprised by something being there more than what we think it is. But, no, I know it was tough. He wanted it to end on a good note.
Look, I know you've talked a lot about Trey Mancini, but his, and I numbers off the top of my head, 158 hits, tied for second most with Cal Ripken Jr., Orioles history for a rookie, just behind Eddie Murray. When you start talking about Ripken, Murray, that kind of company, I mean, how impressive is that what Trey has done this year?
Well, it's one, it's hard to get that opportunity, you know, that people that you show and people trust you. You know, whether, and you're talking about Eddie Murray and Cal Ripken, they got the trust of their manager and the organization at an early age, and more importantly, a little experienced age. So that's probably what sticks out for me about it, is that Trey does fit into that category because you do trust him.
Thank you, Bucks. Take it back upstairs to Joe Angel.
Tonight, Tropicana Field, game two of a three-game series, game number 161 in the regular season. And tonight, Miguel Castro, after 75 relief appearances in the major leagues, well, tonight he will get his first big league start. In a moment, Dave Johnson and Chris Tillman, they get together when the warm-up show continues right after this. Chris Tillman and the Orioles in the offseason, well, they'll have to make some very interesting decisions. So as you look ahead, Chris Tillman, are the Orioles in his future? Well, maybe we'll find out. Dave Johnson, Chris Tillman, when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
Dave Johnson here back at Tropicana Field. I'm here with Chris Tillman. Chris, crazy type of year for you, obviously, with starting off with the injuries and just not being able to get things going the way you wanted to. But you've had a terrific career here with the Orioles and really been the ace here the last 4 or 5 years. Just give me an idea kind of what you're thinking about kind of ending this season and kind of going into it. I guess an unknown to some extent for the first time during the offseason.
Yeah, it's a little different offseason this year. Like you said, there's a lot of unknowns going into it, but you know, it's going to be good to, you know, have an offseason where I'm able to do what I want to do and not be, you know, tentative with training and careful with what I'm doing. So, you know, I'm actually looking forward to the offseason. You know, it's going to be a decision-making offseason. At the same time, I feel like it's going to be good and productive at the same time.
Well, you know, clearly a lot of people, you know, saw what you've done over the last 3 or 4 years, and you were so consistent. And then with the injury, you know, ending last year, the unknown going into the offseason, and then this year coming back, kind of really feeling, you know, yourself that, you know, this is just a matter of time. I'm going to be back, whether it's April or May, and I'll be the regular Chris Tillman that I've been. How disappointing has that been that you just weren't able to get it going the way you have been able to do in the past?
You know, it was really frustrating for me. I think, you know, beginning the year with you know, the little setbacks that we had, and, you know, once I got through that and through my rehab starts, I think the most frustrating part for me was is that I didn't really have any like a feel, you know, and on top of that, I felt great. I felt healthy the whole year. I never felt anything once. And I think that's what made it so frustrating for me was, you know, if you are hurt, then that's a pretty good reason. But I never once felt my shoulder, my back, nothing, my feet, everything was good. And I think, you know, that's what kind of compounded everything. I feel like when I feel this good, I should be able to pitch every fifth day, get the team deep in the game with a chance to win, and you know, just wasn't able to put it together.
Had you ever had a time when you were healthy, whether it was coming up through the minor leagues or early on with the Orioles, but you're up and down real early in your career, that your feel had just kind of gone away, and that after not only 2 or 3 games but just multiple games, not being able to get that feel back, how frustrating has that been? And has that ever happened before?
Yes, it has. You know, it's happened 2 or 3 times actually. I think, you know, 2009 wasn't a very good year. 10 was even worse. 11 wasn't good. And after that year, you know, it was kind of came to the point where I either got to figure this out or it's not going to happen. So kind of same situation where I went into the offseason where, you know, this is something's got to change and we're going to make the adjustments we need to make to be good again. So I think that was very, very similar to this, other than the fact that, you know, the number of starts. You know, the problem is, you know, when you've been here so long, you have so much to fall back on. I feel like anytime you make a bad pitch, like, okay, I felt it, I know what I need to do, and then you make an adjustment, and then it doesn't happen that time. You make another adjustment, you're getting further away from who you need to be and where you need to be. I feel like, you know, that was kind of a downfall for me, is, you know, just trying to make too many adjustments and to get back to where I needed to be.
when you struggled early on, when you were telling me those couple of years, like 9, 10, 11-ish, clearly in 12 you spent, you know, basically the whole first half in Norfolk and were having great success after your first maybe 5-6 games had turned it on. You were game after game, you were just really good, but you weren't getting the call. And then finally you got the call that game to go to Seattle right before the All-Star break. What kind of clicked for you there from, say, the first 4 or 5 starts in Norfolk? And then since then, up until last year, really the end when you were hurt, you had been so consistent.
You know, that was kind of the turning point. You know, I said, screw it. I'm gonna get this thing right. I'm not gonna worry about results, which at that level you can. And I'm gonna get my delivery right where I can repeat it. Win, lose, rain or shine, I'm gonna focus on this and not get away from it. And I think once I was able to do that and get in stride and be comfortable with my delivery, I think your confidence goes through the roof, and then you get on a roll. And once you're in that role, it's hard to get out of. But once you do get out of it, you got to fight to get back in. You know, it's tougher to get back in it.
You mentioned to me earlier this season, because clearly people were questioning, and I was like, he's got to be hurt. There's no way that he's been this inconsistent start after start without being hurt. But you assured me and everybody else that I'm not hurt. But I've, after trying to find your way by trying to not feel pain last year, you feel like you kind of got out of your delivery, and then you haven't been able to get that back. Going into this offseason, what are you going to do to be able to try to get that feel back again? Are you going to just take a lot of time off or get right back into some type of throwing to kind of, fix what you haven't been able to fix so far this year?
I think as a starting pitcher, you got to take some time, but I think it's going to be a lot less this year than what it has been in the past. I can't go up every fifth day with how I did this year. I have to be better, and I know I can be better. And especially with how much time I've spent here, I know what needs to be done and what how to get there. So I can't, I want to see it now as opposed to later. So I'll take some time off, but probably a lot less than what I'm used to.
Well, good luck to you with that, and hopefully things kind of come back for you. And who knows, maybe we'll see you right back here again next year.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Today, the penultimate game in the regular season, game number 161. Miguel Castro gets his first major league start. Oriole baseball is next. All right, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Dave Johnson back at Tropicana Field. In the loss column, Rays win this thing by a score of 4-3. Orioles did not score in this game until the eighth inning and a Pedro Alvarez two-run single. First time they scored a run in 23 innings. With Dave Johnson. Hey, Dave, Miguel Castro tonight, his first major league start. What'd you think?
Well, I mean, realistically, he did a decent job. I was hoping to see that big fastball a little bit more consistently, and I guess we'll find out, maybe we will, maybe we won't, if anybody asks him, was he really, in essence, getting the start, trying to pace himself a little bit? But let's face it, we've seen him be really good, and the times we've seen him be really good is when he's throwing the ball 94, 96, 97 miles per hour. We didn't see that. I don't think I saw a pitch above 95 tonight, and most of them were 91, 93. So you can pitch effectively at that velocity, but if you can throw harder, then throw harder. And we'll see what ends up happening with that. But look, he's got the 3 or 4 pitches. He needs to command it like anybody else. But, yeah, tonight, so-so job. Clearly he gave up the three-run homer, but first couple innings, he pitched pretty good.
Have we talked about all the individual Orioles, the seasons they had? Richard Blyer got one more chance to pitch tonight. He goes 1 2/3 scoreless innings, so he's not going to pitch tomorrow, so he's going to end his season very impressively.
Yeah, I think Blyer was a good pickup by Dan Duquette from the Yankees early on, near like a middle to end of spring training or something like that, and he's been a terrific pickup. Again, we talked about him, and we talked about Donnie Hart. And it looked like Blyer, with both of them being on the team early, Blyer kind of ended up kind of winning over that job. And Hart was the one that ended up going to the minor leagues a couple different times. And, Blyer was pretty darn consistent all year long and did a nice job.
It's funny how you win games and how you lose games. Look at Tampa Bay tonight. Michael Givens eventually came out of the bullpen. It was Givens who gave up the eventual winning run. And he gave it up on a single, a stolen base, a walk, I should say a balk. And then a fly ball. That's right. How they lost the game.
And at the time, it's 3-0. You don't think it's a big deal.
No.
But that run ended up being the winner, as you said. So, Yeah, I think that, you know, in Donnie Hart's situation, that was kind of a weak balk, if you ask me. I mean, there's no deception there. He comes up, kind of paused a little bit, and then kind of came down and rested there. In no way was trying to trick anybody or pick anybody off or anything like that. They call a balk. He goes to third. They sacrifice fly, and boom, there it is. It looks at that time inconsequential. It's not a big deal. Ends up being the winner.
Hey, we can't talk about Mancini's hitting streak anymore. Just how it ended.
Well, we can talk about how it's over. We can talk about how patient he was in his last at-bat, and he did not expand the strike zone trying to do too much. Looking from a personal standpoint, it's like, hey, I need to get a hit here to keep this thing going. And when he didn't get a good pitch to hit, he didn't swing the bat. He took the walk.
And guess what? He scored a run.
He did.
After Pedro hit that big two-run single. Do it again tomorrow?
One more time.
You promise you'll be here?
I'll be here.
Okay, that's Dave Johnson. Yeah, this game was nothing until the bottom of the fourth inning. Castro began the inning. He had gone three scoreless, but it gave up a single to Dickerson to get that fourth inning started. And then Echevarria, he singled. And so there were two men on base when Brad Miller came up to hit. As it turned out, one big swing, and Tampa Bay had gone ahead for good. Miller fly ball, deep right field. Wow, way back. Gone, a three-run home run. My goodness. Brad Miller, his ninth home run. It's a 3-0. Pipe down. Did somebody turn that thing off? It's a 3-0 Tampa Bay lead. And it remained that way all the way until the top of the eighth inning. But before then, Tampa Bay had actually scored what turned out to be the game-winning run, because in the bottom of the seventh inning, that's when they got the run. Again, Donnie Hart was pitching, a single by Kiermaier. There was a stolen base, and there was a balk to get Kiermaier to third. And that's when Ramos came up to hit, and he picked up an RBI, even though he made an out. So Ramos waits, count 2-2. And here comes the pitch. Fly ball, he'll drive it a run, deep to center. Backing up is Austin Hayes, and on the edge of the warning track, he'll make the catch. Here comes Kiermaier, so he scores after a single, a steal, a balk, and a fly ball. It is now 4-0 Tampa Bay. Meanwhile, the Orioles here tonight did not score in the game until the top of the eighth inning. They had gone 22 consecutive scoreless innings. And then in the eighth inning, Scope began with a single, and then Mancini, he got a base on balls. So Mancini ended 0-for-2 tonight with two walks. So he was on base after Machado grounded out. Orioles had runners on second and third for Pedro Alvarez. Pedro lines it over first. That's a base hit. Scope comes in. Here's Mancini. He will score. The ball back in toward the plate much too late. That's a two-run single to make it a two-run game, 4-2 Tampa Bay. And then eventually made it a one-run game against Colome in the ninth inning, a double by J.J. Hardy to get the inning started. And then Cisco a single to put runners on first and third. After Smith, the pinch hitter, struck out, that's when Santander hit a fly ball to pick up an RBI to make it a one-run game. And then Scope came up to hit with two outs, hit the ball hard, but it wasn't hard enough. So Scope digs in, and Colome again ready to deliver. And there's a drive out towards center. There's Kiermaier. He comes on. He goes into a little dive, and he made the catch as he made his way in toward the infield. And that's how the game ends. And the Orioles again in the loss column tonight here at Tropicana Field as they suffered their fourth consecutive loss. They have lost 18 of the last 22. And finally on Sunday, game number 162, the season is about to mercifully come to an end. Yep, tomorrow at 3:10, game number 162. We'll continue right after this. In the loss column tonight, Tampa Bay wins it. Game number 161 goes to Tampa Bay, and they win it by a score of 4-3. And the Rays scored the game winner after a balk that I'm sure Buck Showalter did not concur with. So Buck Showalter with the media after the game.
What'd you see from Castro?
Okay. Might have got a little tired then, I'm not sure, but he worked through a lot of trouble. It wasn't like it was an unscathed first three innings. But it was a good step for him. We'll see if he can build on it, give us some options as we go forward.
Look, did he look different to you than he does in relief? I know you've said sometimes that, like, having a guy start is just a different...
Different look, different presentation. You know, you watch him during the course of the day in here preparing for a start. And I got to tell you, there wasn't a whole lot of change in him. He's a pretty under-control guy. He likes to compete. He's a smart guy that he knows what's going on, and you certainly don't draw a lot of attention to it for him. You know, there's little things like times of play. He fluctuates all over the place, something that, you know, we've got to do a better job with before they get here. It's just a tough place to be teaching people to be quicker to the plate. You know, that stuff's got to start in Aberdeen.
But does that stuff get kind of, you know, expanded when in a start like this? Because he had the wild pitch, he had the stolen base, stuff like that, where the 90-foot increments
kind of. Right. And we can do a little better job throwing, probably, but from throwing them out. But, you know, Chance did a good job. He threw the guy out at third. We just couldn't make the play. But, no, those are little things, like you said, that get magnified somewhat when you're starting, because you're seeing a lot more hitters and guys have a better feel for you. You're not coming in and ambushing somebody. And, you know, as other hitters in the league gets to know people, a la Donnie Hart and some other guys that come up for a period of time last year, they make the adjustments to them.
That's came alive a little bit in the eighth and ninth inning. Were you seeing something better there?
I think it was more as much they were making some mistakes and we were doing something with them. You know, Archer's got 200 innings, one of the best pitchers in the league, and you know, we didn't do a whole lot off him, create many opportunities.
I feel like JJ wants to provide a little reminder, hey, there's still something in the tank here.
Oh, I don't think he has to do that for us to know that. You know, there's a big heart there, and you know, it's pretty obvious what it's meant for us not having him for 88 games, not necessarily offensively, just the things he does. He made a couple plays today that, you know, they're not many shortstops make cerebral-wise, and if there's such a word, but, you know, that's important. You know, the balk call is another thing that I've been talking about. You know, it, by the letter of the law, you can call it, but there's no advantage being gained. Basically, the runner messes up and the defense gets penalized. You know, it should be advantage-disadvantage. You know, if a left-hander's going over the 45-degree and picking somebody off, that's a balk. But when someone's standing there getting a signal and drops the ball and somebody moves up 90 feet or he flinches a quarter of a second, those rules are just, they need to be amended because it's archaic and it's not right.
All right, that's Skip Buck, Joe Walter, after the game with the media.